Hello and welcome to The Loudmouth. I'm your host Stuart Simpson, and today we're going to be talking about those beautiful creatures we call actors and how to get the best out of them. I have a trio of talented directors with me today to share some wisdom: Andrew McLean, Robin Haig, and Tom Gentle. Thanks all for taking part today. We'll begin with a quick introduction from everyone. Andrew, let's start with you. How did you first get into directing?
Accidentally, really. I was helping run a department. I was team manager, really, for a group of charities and stuff. And then the head of video left, and the company turned around and went, "Can you run the thing?" And I was like, yes. So accidentally was put in charge, and then so started directing all the content and that sort of stuff, and went from there.
Robin, how about you?
I guess I made a documentary. That's when I started directing. So I went to film school, and there I started making video art, and I focused more on documentaries and experimental stuff. So that was my first experience of directing. And then I got a job in the film and TV industry, and then got commissioned to make a short documentary through GMAC. And yeah, just happened from there.
And Tom?
Through storytelling, actually. I was a bit of a bookworm growing up, and I read a lot. And when I was a kid, wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a writer since a very young age. And then I met two guys when I was about 10, 12, 13 who started introducing me to VHSs, and I started watching movies and all these movies that I'd really not seen as a kid. And then by the time I was 15, 16, I was convinced that I was going to be a filmmaker and went off to uni to study film and haven't looked back.
So today we're focusing on actors. And I suspect each of you has a different approach to working with actors. What would you say is your approach? Let's start with Robin. What is your approach to working with actors? Do you have one, or is it very much project to project?
I think it's definitely project specific, and possibly budget specific as well, like how much time you have. But I think a lot of my process starts before I even meet the actor, or maybe before I even know who or what actor will play the roles. I think a lot of the work is about prep, about knowing your character's arc and about the story. So I've done, before I even meet the actor, I've done like a shitload of homework, let's say, or I've been in the script for months already. And then my process with the actor or the actors would be very much about having a conversation first, so discussing with them their character's journey and their ideas. And all of that is done before you even get to set. And hopefully as well, you would do a read through. Like, I love to do a read through. So that is really when you can hear the actors' voices say the dialogue, and it gives them a chance to bring up anything that they don't think makes sense for their character, or bring up, you know, have input and suggestions at that stage. So you've done already, before you get on set, you've done a ton of work. And then on set, again, it would depend on whether I was doing like my own work, so a short film, or I've directed quite a lot of River City, which is a BBC continuing drama, a soap opera. And so on that, you really don't have much time. So there's very much a formula of like you start the scene, the actors come on, you do a line read through, then they can say if there's anything that they don't feel is right for their character. Then you block it, so I would already have planned where they're going to sit or stand or be, and I would pass that information on to them, and then we would do a rehearsal, and then I would make any adjustments, or they might make some adjustments, and then we show it to the crew. But if it was, say, my short film, then the actors would come on set, and I wouldn't give them any direction in terms of blocking. I would just say, okay, this scene is in the kitchen, do what you want. And then it's very much about finding it together with the actors. So it really just depends on what it is that you're making. And then, of course, once you've done the rehearsals or done a few takes, then it's about sculpting. So just finding like moments in the dialogue or in the performance that you think needs to be turned up a little bit or turned down a little bit. Or like, I guess my process is that I'm always really like observing the actor's face and in minute detail, but I wouldn't actually want to know them that, them to know that, they'd probably be horrified. But I'm really always looking at, like, do I believe them? Do I believe them in this moment? Do I believe their emotion? And do I believe their emotional truth?
Andrew, how about you? Do you have a standard approach, or is it, like Robin, very much tailored to what you're working on?
It definitely tailored to what I'm working on. I work on very different stuff to Robin, so I'm mainly doing commercial and corporate stuff. So it's not been in my head for months. A lot of the time I've got in and it's, okay, we've got a week and a half, let's get it in, and we're working with scripts and we're building those things and we're trying to find those characters. But I think also my way of working with actors massively changed. I don't know if the other two would agree, but I think when I started, I had an idea in my head and I was kind of sort of forced them to do it exactly my way. And I was always almost reading their lines the way I wanted them to do it. And then over time, I think I've worked, especially because I produce as well as direct, working with other directors and seeing how they've developed with actors and how they build them up and grow them on that journey. I've realized I didn't just want the pretty guy in front of the camera and the pretty girl. Sort of actually I wanted those, as Robin said, that sort of authenticity and that reality of the character to come through. And often I've been really surprised as I've let people develop that more and more and develop their tone of voice in it, suddenly the character has becomes more and more three-dimensional as they do that. And I enjoy that push and pull with the actor and that process in the whole thing, really. So I suppose, yeah, my process is still changing. I was, funny enough, working on a feature on the production team this week with a director who's a big time Hollywood guy, and it was all very exciting. But seeing how he worked was really fascinating because it's not how I would work at all. He would make people run it and 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 run it. So they start off being bright and sharp, which is doing corporates and doing commercials, exactly what I want. And he'd get through the bright and sharp, get to the point where they were pissed off, and then get through that to the point where they sort of just, oh, and they'd get through it. And then it accidentally almost got to a point where it felt real because they weren't trying to remember their lines, they weren't trying to get it through it, they weren't trying to be chipper, they were just saying it as if you'd speak to somebody, because they weren't thinking about the lines, they were thinking about how the other person felt. And I thought that was an extraordinary, it was brutal being crew on that, and it was brutal being an actor. I could see they were wrung out by it, but the delivery was so totally different in that process. And I think finding that together, I think, again, as Robin said, I think was really interesting to watch.
Tom, I'm going to preempt your answer slightly. I know you've previously talked about something called orchestrated improvisation.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's a big part of the way that you approach directing, or is that a very specific thing you do?
Yeah, well, I can't really climb down off that, can I now? yes, orchestrated improvisation. So like, my way of working is, it chimes very well. Robin, as Andrew said, like, finding it together is a really good line, I think. And I try to find it together as early in the process as I can. So actually involving the performance and the orchestrated improvisation with the writing of the film. So I workshop with actors, I'll get a group of actors in, and it combines with the casting. So essentially, if I get, say, 15 actors in across a period of 4 or 5 days, and we improvise scenarios that inform the script, so I'll have a rough idea where I want a scene to go, or the idea, you know, the film generally to go. I'll have ideas for scenes, but I'll ask them to bring stuff with them as well that might inform the process. And I'll say, right, here's a scenario. Let's improvise around this scenario, and I'll record the sessions and write notes, scrabbling away, trying to get as many notes down as possible. And I'll record those sessions, from that process, write the film. So it's almost like the performance and the improvisational scenarios informs the script. And then from that, I'll cast the film as well. But from there, you know, you've got actors that you've already done some days with already. Yeah, I think the key for me is making myself as comfortable as well with the people that I'm going to be working with. And I try to do that across cast and crew, you know, universally. The best thing you can do is spend as much time, as far as I'm concerned, there is a limit to this, obviously, you know. We shot in January, the last short I did, and I didn't quite invite them for Christmas dinner, but you know, we were hanging out a lot and going to see movies and cooking together and hanging out, and really I don't do a lot of read-throughs. I like to talk a lot about character, and I ask the actors what they need from me. I think that's also key, is I would hate to kind of force my way of working, my method on someone else and say, right, this is what we're going to be doing. Here's a biography. Here's a 50-page biography on your character. I do write a little biography, but I'll say to them, if there's anything in there that you don't agree with or anything that you is not useful to you, then ditch it or tell me what's different to you. But very often, you know, you cast people that it rings true, and often you find that actually it aligns pretty well with what you're thinking. But I'll do playlists as well for actors, and you know, give them a Spotify playlist. And the last thing that we did, Kirsty, I gave her the playlist, and she was like, I'm not buying this at all. I don't think this is what Sam listens to. And I said, well, fine, you know, just ignore it completely. Is there anything there? No, it's all useless. Fine, waste of time. You go on and do your own thing, because I think a lot of it. As a director, I've kind of gone from when I first started out, like wanting to control all aspects of everything, to realizing that you're surrounding yourself. The best thing a director can do is accept the input from all of the artists that you've got around yourself. And again, cast and crew. But these actors have such a power, you know, they take everything so seriously and they think about every aspect. The last thing you want is to say to them, oh, no, ignore all that stuff that you're trying to do. That my way is the best way, because you'll get something that's a gem, you know. So I think it's about keeping it as free as possible, and I like to really not do any, like, the first I'll touch on the lines, I'll take the script, like, so the day before we shot in January, which is the kind of last, you know, drama that I did, I got together the night before and we did a read through of some scenes and just touched on it lightly and didn't invest in the read at all, and just so that we could kind of feel a little bit of rhythm, and then I'll rehearse a couple of times on set. But the opposite of your man doing it to death, Andrew, that sounds like my worst nightmare. I think I'd become terrified halfway through that process that I'd lost it and I wasn't going to get it back, and that would be my fear.
You've all touched on it, but let's talk about casting. I mean, obviously casting is a big part of getting the best crew together. Do you guys enjoy casting? Is that your favorite part of the process?
I think I do enjoy it. I there's a lot to get out of it. It's really exciting. You know, when you get the right person coming in and you think, you know, this person could be, is, you know, it can be surprising as well. That's really exciting when you get someone in the room, you think, oh, I didn't think of this, that this kind of person could play this role. It can be quite exhausting as well, though. You know, it can flip the other way where you do hours and hours of casting and you're not quite finding it. Particularly in the commercial world, Andrew, I find that, because, you know, you see so many people and there's other people inputting into that process. You think you found the right person, but the agency or the client says no.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's that constant wrestle, isn't it, between, oh, I think this is who I have in my mind. But again, to your point of saying it's collaborative process, I know most of us would like to leave the client out of that collaborative process a lot of the time. But I think getting into their head a bit, understanding what they want, and then getting to a point where you can hopefully talk them around a little bit to your way of thinking, and win some of those battles, but recognize you're going to lose some of them, seems to be the only way to get there. But I think there are those times where you think, okay, we've seen all these people and actually no one's close, no one's even in the ballpark. And then something, as you say, I think there's every so often somebody walks in, you go, oh gosh, I didn't even think of that, and that would totally change the tempo and mood of the whole thing and add another dimension. I find it's a fascinating thing, but I think it's both, so much of being a director is people. It's all about finding the people, making and getting not just squeezing them, but getting them comfortable working together and getting the best out of them. And I find that audition process must be so hard for them, getting them to a point where they can relax and give their best at the same time as wanting to put a bit of pressure on to see if they're going to snap under it and all those sorts of things. Fascinating. I really enjoy it. What about you, Robin?
I find it also exciting, also exhausting, and then also terrifying, because then when you do, well, first of all, you have a really big decision to make, like, okay, I think it's this person, is it really this person? And then once you've decided that, then you have to wait to hear from either them or their agent, like, do they actually want to do it after meeting me or my team, me and my team, or can they still do it? Do they have the availability? So then you've got this like agonizing wait to hear like the answer, like, is this actor going to be in your film? So it's like a whole emotional roller coaster. But I think what I really like about casting is that it's an opportunity to play an experiment. So to get the actor to improvise or to throw stuff at them to see how they adapt to that, or how they take on board your direction. Like, do they do something that you expect, or do they do something that really surprises you? And when that happens, I find that really exciting. I think even before COVID happened, casting was starting to change a little bit in that people were doing more video casting, like recording it at home or on their camera, which I think is great in one way, because it means that you have the opportunity to meet many more actors. But then I also think it's a shame that you are sometimes watching people on screen. I don't think that you get the best experience then, because you can't have that conversation with them. But I guess it does mean that you can have like initial selection and then meet people in real life.
Have you done a lot of that Zoom stuff, Robin?
I've never done Zoom casting, no, but I've had videos sent in to me.
Yeah. No, I just wondered. I've like sat in on Zoom castings, and I can't see that it would be like, I think I would really struggle to get what I needed from it. Like that human connection being, and as you say, like establishing that relationship, I think is key.
It's too one-sided for you, that sort of process.
It becomes like, the technology becomes such a hurdle for everyone that I think, and also becomes, there's always going to be even a subconscious element of this person's internet worked better and you know, their camera was, you know, and so everything went seamlessly, so it just felt better. You're going to be impacted by that. Whereas if you've just got someone in a room, it's inescapable. The only thing that they can win you over with is the performance and the relationship that you can form in that however long you've got.
I'm sure all of you have favorite actors that you've worked with. I mean, once you find someone that you like really click with as an actor, and you like, they always get what you want, is there a temptation to use them all the time?
Yeah, I'm never sure how I feel about when a director works with the same actor all the time. A part of me really likes that, because I think, well, they've got a great relationship, and then, you know, why wouldn't you revisit that? But then I really think that a character is so specific that I'm not sure you can just put the same actor into all your different scripts. Obviously they can deliver, that's why they do it, and they can trust that actor. But I think for me, it would be about finding somebody new to work with. But having said that, there's definitely actors that I've worked with in the past that I've either thought, yes, I would love to work with that person again, and I have a role for them and an idea for them, or I have them in mind for something that I'm working on at the moment. Or there's actors that I've worked with where I've thought, like, yeah, I would definitely, like, I would keep you in my mind for when the right role came up.
Do you write roles for an actor that you've come across? You see an actor and say, actually not right for this project, but will you keep them in mind and almost not write for them, but maybe sort of write for them?
I don't think I would write for an actor, no, because my stories don't come from that place. Yeah, but I've definitely worked with people, say, in one scenario where I've thought, like, oh my God, if there was ever the right role that came up in one of my own films, I would definitely cast you if you wanted to be in it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, you get directors who work with actors over and over again, and you think, are they, you know, become so comfortable that they get to explore previously uncharted ground? You know, that they find this place that, you know, just keep exploring. But then I think Robin is right. When you get a new actor and you get to like kind of form that relationship all over again and change the way and have to adapt to each other's way of working, that's also very exciting. I think just from my way of working, like this kind of, as you say, the orchestrated, the grandly named orchestrated improvisation. If I find an actor who is, and as I have done, an actor that is a really gifted improviser, then it's worth pursuing that relationship. Like, you know, if I think that they will fit into a role that I'm thinking of, that for an idea for a film that I have, that and then it's worth kind of making sure that person is part of that process in the future.
I think for most of what I do, again, it's because it's more commercial, more corporate, the client will come in and will say, we want somebody who looks and sounds and is a bit like this and fits into this sort of thing. And a lot of the time that's a different person. If I've worked with somebody and I think they're good, I use them again. But if the limits are the same, I think the danger is I don't want them to bring in the same performance. And if you've got the same crew and the same cast, then it's hard not to have that same performance. You want it to feel different. I like finding new people and working with new people. And for me, that's half the fun.
Let's talk about collaboration with actors. You've all, I think, already touched on the fact that you like collaboration. Are you, none of you are the kind of director that Andrew touched on, where you kind of just tell them what to do all the time and then just demand that from them. It sounds like you're all much more collaborative with your actors.
Well, from the sounds of things, I'm probably the closest to it because I'll come in with a script and you don't get to improvise. Sorry, guys, you know, because it's been signed off. We've worked our asses off to get it signed off by the bloody client. I'm sure they're all lovely, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
And we get it finally across the line and they want to come in and change the whole flipping thing. And we can't then run it through 75 different sets, rounds of amends before it gets signed. So the script is locked, but you'd think that would mean that there wouldn't be much for the actor to bring, but actually necessarily there's a huge amount of their delivery and who they are to put into it. And actually, you know, you find, you know, we all know you can say a sentence 1,000 ways and 1,000 different actors will say it each 1,000 different ways. And so working with the actor to get the best out of that line is great. And as we sort of said earlier, I think you start off with a fairly standard, you know, this is our line and it starts off here and you work with it together and find something new and fresh, which is always so exciting because you think, okay, I just need to get this messaging across, but actually it suddenly has personality and humor and them in it, which is the game.
One of the things I suppose that it goes in line with the casting situation as well is the combination of cast, of course. It's all very well to cast one actor, but how does that actor react to the other actor that you put alongside them, or you know, as a group when you bring them all together? How do they combine and bounce off each other? So one of the most exciting things about casting is, okay, those five people are great, but I can only cast two of them. Who do I think, you know, who will work well alongside, you know, what's the most interesting pairing of these two people? And that is a lot to do, you know, the collaboration there. You know, you can talk about preparing and talking about actors and doing line readings and stuff, but when those two actors or five actors or whatever, once they get in a room together and they start bouncing off each other, I think that's where the really interesting stuff happens, because obviously the best thing they can do is just react to what the other person is giving them. So that's, I think, where a lot of the collaborative, you know, trying to work with them to stay open as much as possible. And I mean, yeah, I don't know about Robin, but you know, I'm not fussed. You know, I'll say very openly, like at the start, I need these two bits of information in this scene. Like, I need you to say at some point that, you know, the door's locked and that we can't get in, and oh, the neighbor's out, so you can't they haven't got the spare key. Like, I need those two bits of information in the scene at some point. But aside from that, you know, go nuts. Like, you know, we know where we want to start and we know where we want to finish in terms of kind of emotional pitch and general kind of arc of the scene. But like, we've talked about it enough. I'm happy for you to deviate from those lines. And then, so yeah, just watching them be free with that and react from each other. I mean, obviously, you don't want the scene to go completely crazy and off the rails. So your job there is to collaborate with them and saying, I'm not, you know, let's talk about that. I'm not sure it's heading in quite. I think we had something better before. And what do you think about this? And trying to continue kind of having a discussion about the general shape of things. And your job there as well is thinking, well, now this scene is becoming this thing. Is that going to fit into the larger narrative that I've got in my head? Is it all just getting slightly out of control? Will this work for the next scene? If when they leave this scene, they're here, is that going to work when we go into the next scene and they're there, you know? So, I think the best thing you can do is create this kind of open environment where people feel free to come. I had a mentee on the last shoot who's a really, really gifted filmmaker, and she was coming up with ideas. You know, from behind the monitor, she'd stick her head out and say, oh, hold on, have you thought about this? And you know, it's creating that environment where anyone... And not, well, hopefully not anyone, but most people feel free to stick up their hand and say, you know, why don't you try this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could put it much better than Tom there and his what he just said about collaboration. But yeah, I find one of the most exciting parts of filmmaking is the collaboration. And I remember when I realised that many, many years ago that it was what everyone else brought to my idea and made it much greater than it was if it had just been me. Like, if I just made my short film all by myself, it would be like down here. But when I bring on board everybody else and they bring their ideas and their talent to it, then you end up with something that is far greater. And that's a really, really exciting process. And I find that as well about working with the actors, even if you don't have much time. So like when I work on River City, it's so fast paced. We've got like about 14, on average, about 14 pages of dialogue to shoot a day. So there's just really not a lot of time. But everyone knows that there's not a lot of time. So we're all very used to working in that fast paced environment. And so you just do what you can. And so when we've rehearsed the scene and then the crew are setting up like camera and lighting, art department are doing their jobs on set, then I will go to the green room with the cast and just grab a few moments to talk about the scene with them, even if it's a scene that like doesn't have a whole lot going on about in it, because I still think it's important. And I always ask them, like, how did they feel about it, and what their ideas are for the scene. I like the conversation part and asking them their ideas, even if there isn't a lot of time, because I think when you do that, that is when you get the most interesting performances and the best performances, because it's also about creating an environment of trust and openness that they trust you and that you trust them.
And the environment that engenders as well, like, you know, when anyone can have an input and when someone sticks up their hand and takes a bit of a risk and says, you know, again, going back to that short in January, the first AD, I think, Robin, you might have worked with Matt Cooper. Do you know Matt?
Yes,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah. So Matt, great. At one point, we were trying to figure out how we'd place them, where the actors would be sitting. This is where they're at emotionally. And we're trying to figure out, maybe they'd be here, maybe they... And Matt just stuck his hand up and Kate said, well, what about they're sitting kind of awkwardly on the back of this sofa? And I said, yeah, that's exactly, it feels a bit like stilted, it feels like perfect for where they are, you know, as a couple emotionally. And I mean, Matt will hear this and laugh, but like you saw that he got like an actual kick out of having come up with an idea, had it, you know, discussed and accepted, and that's what we're going with. And having that kind of reward system on set, I think, is really cool. Like, people get to go home and say, I made like a really tangible contribution to something.
We're almost at our time here, but just to finish, I'd really like to know how each of you approaches a situation where you're not getting what you want from an actor. Like, what techniques do you use to not bend them to your will, but to get what you're trying to get from a scene?
I had a hilarious scenario for a pharmaceutical company, and it was really simple stuff. So, okay, you've got to hold the test tube, and you've got to put it up, you've got to pull the plunger, and that's it. Okay, that's it. So you've got to put it up and pull the plunger. So she put it up at 90 degrees. I went, no, all the way up. Okay. No, all the way up. We did it 70-something times, and she just couldn't get it in her head. And eventually she lost it. She had to run out. And I told the producer, like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. So talk her off the edge and all that sort of thing. And I think all that to say, I think simple things can sometimes be the things that trip you up and get you over a barrel.
So how did you deal with that then? What was
we had to have 5 minutes and sit down and chill out and get outside our own heads. Yeah. But I think that's true of everything on set. And like I said, I think what we do is understand people, and we're telling stories to people. It's about people and getting into people. And if we can make those actors real because they feel like actual people, we can relate to them. We can, even if I'm just normal contributors who are just doing a testimonial or whatever it is, it's about understanding where they are and getting them feeling comfortable and getting them relaxed. And sometimes I'll bring the actor around and I'm trying to explain what they're doing wrong. You're doing this. And I had one actress I was directing, and she was punctuating everything she said with the hand and the bounce, because that's how she'd learned it in her head. And I said, are you a dancer? She said, yeah, how did you know that? I said, because you're doing this thing. And she didn't understand, so I brought her around to the monitor. I said, look, this is what you're doing. She's like, oh, I didn't know I did that. And by showing her, she could understand it. And I think then giving her 5 minutes to process it and not beat herself up, and okay, here we go, right, let's have another go. And I think sometimes I've seen directors treat actors like warm props, and I don't think that's acceptable. I think they bully them or just use them. And I think actually by relating to them as human, as an understanding where you would be in that, and how would I get me out of that headspace, and all those, they're just a normal kind response to people getting freaked out. How do I feel when I'm freaked out because I'm screwing up my job? This poor girl with a flipping test tube, of course she needed 5 minutes, and I needed 5 minutes, and everybody needed 5 minutes. And then by the end we were able, of course she could do it because it was simple and it was straightforward, but she got all tangled in her own head, as we all do. And I think relating to them and challenging them and believing in them and taking time from it seems to be it.
I remember like when I first started, like one of the first jobs I ever did, I was around, and I couldn't believe, like I was on this this feature film, and this guy, this actor, he had to come in. It was a kind of boardroom situation, and he had to come in and, you know, say a few things, shuffle some papers, put some papers down, and then stand up and leave again in disgust. But the director, he had him walking and right, you're gonna walk into the room, you'll sit down, you'll say that line to that guy, you'll shuffle the papers, you'll look at this guy to your left, you'll say that, and then her down there, you'll throw a bit of paper down her, and by the, you know, there were so many beats for the actor to remember that you could just see by the time they actually had a go at rehearsing it, they were just trying to jigsaw it all together. They were just trying to remember which line went to who, where they threw the papers, all this stuff. And you think if you dictate like that, if you kind of lay it out and map it all out in that way, then all kind of naturalism or the organic nature of the performance is gone. Like you're never going to get that. So, but yeah, in terms of the question, I think you try and forestall that in the relationship beforehand. If you know, again, we talked about being as comfortable as possible with an actor, which for me is spending time with them. I'm not an immediately kind of sociable guy, so like it helps me to be, you know, go to a bar, have a couple of meals with someone to break the ice completely. So by the time I'm on a set, I feel comfortable enough to give them, if there is something that I want to challenge, I think that's it. Andrew said it. You want to challenge them. You don't want to refuse them or say no. It's about saying, well, hold on, do you think that's right? And having a discussion rather than a, you know, you kind of pulling up the drawbridge. But if you do want to challenge them, then I think if you've got that relationship, then you feel open and trusting enough to be able to discuss that stuff. And then you've just got to be brave as well. I think, you know, if there's something that's really not working for you, then you need to just say, look, we need to talk about this, and hope that they go along with it. You know, like at some point, they're being incredibly brave offering something up in the first place. So you have to meet them and say, I'm not buying that.
Yeah, hopefully, well, it all starts with good casting. So hopefully you've done enough work in the casting that you don't have any situations like that. But I definitely have what I call like a little toolbox in my back pocket of things that I can say to an actor if I don't think that the performance is quite hitting the mark. And it can be often just as much about talking about something like their emotional temperature, or if they're playing their intention strong enough, or also about covering. Like, I use the word covering sometimes, like, are they covering their intention or not at all covering their intention? So it's really obvious what they're doing. Because if you think in like our day-to-day life, and I think, Andrew, you mentioned earlier, there's like a million different ways we can ask for something. Like, sometimes I think there's an example I read in a book once where you can, if you say, would you like to come for a coffee? There's like a million ways you can say that with a million different intentions. And when you start to think about like what you do in your life and the questions you ask or what you say to people, in a sort of psychological way, you start to analyze like your own intentions. If you think how much you cover your own intentions, how you often say something, but what you really mean is like very down here. So I quite often would talk to the actor about like how they're covering whatever their intention is. I find that really useful.
Amazing set of stories, and all of you have very different ways of approaching this. If you guys have anything you want to plug or somewhere online people can get you to get more information, Tom, we'll start with you.
Opening Shot is a podcast that I share with Fraser Malcolm. We talk about the journey of a still relatively young filmmaker making their first feature film, and all the kind of pitfalls and things to avoid, but also the joys and delights to be found along the way. But yeah, it's not been around for a little while, but we need to record another episode.
Andrew, and where can people find you?
AndrewMclean.co.uk. That's me.
And Robin?
Yeah, I've got a website too, which is robinhaig.com. And I've also got an Instagram account, which is On The Croft. And on my Instagram account, I don't post anything about my filmmaking or my career. It's just observations of the land around me on the hillside in the Croft where I live, because I just got so fed up of social media and having to like always plug all this stuff. I just wanted to do something that like I actually just love and felt like true to my soul and to my heart.
Thanks very much for listening to The Loudmouth. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. You can find out more about us on the web at loudmouthfilms.com, and you can find us on Instagram at @WeAreLoudmouth. We'll be back next month with another dose of creativity. We hope you'll join us then.